Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Matt Saman. He is the author of a new book that tells an amazing story. The book is called The Leftovers, and one of our students here at the ranch saw this book and said, "I want to read that." And I said, "Well, good, because it's worth the read." The Leftovers is an amazing story. It involves Baylor University, it involves betrayal, and it involves God's faithfulness, his redemptive power. And we're going to be talking with Matt this evening about his story and how God has brought him through some really difficult things and shown himself powerful and faithful in the midst of it. Matt, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about the experience that led you to write The Leftovers. Some of our folks are going to be familiar with what happened, and other folks will have no clue about it. So fill us in on the story that is the basis of this book.
Yeah, it's pretty much right before my senior year in college. It was 2003. It was that summer. It was June. And my team at Baylor, we were about to be really good. We were going to have some future NBA players, yep, and then some solid role players like myself that were going to be seniors. And we were already picked to be in the top four or five in the Big 12, which means you're probably top 25 and you're going to play in March Madness, which is, I feel like, the dream or the goal of every college basketball player.
Absolutely.
Is to play in the big dance. And it's about to happen for us. And I played for Coach Bliss, for Dave Bliss, for 3 years. And mm-hmm. So I'm just in this area where I love my school. I love Baylor. I love my team and my coaching staff. It was just a perfect scenario for me. And it was a Friday afternoon in June. I got a call from a professor. He said, "Matt, what's going on with your team?" And I thought, "Oh, well, I don't know. Like, what are those knuckleheads doing now?" Because you play with some interesting characters, at that level of basketball or sports. And
yes.
And he said, "No, you need to turn on the TV right now." And sure enough, I saw this story on the news just kind of unfold in front of me, probably like a lot of everybody else did. I didn't really know anything that was going on, but man, I was really caught right in the middle of it. And sure enough, in that span of 2 months, I lost 10 teammates. One of my teammates shot and killed another teammate, guys that were just two seats down from me in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaching staff that I played almost 100 games for, it turns out they were doing a lot of things wrong. And mm-hmm. I didn't know it. I didn't see it. So I felt pretty foolish there. And over those 2 months, I go into my senior year with 6 scholarship players, which if you're going up against Kansas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, they all have 13, all Americans.
Yeah.
We had 6 players and we were role players, no stars, mm-hmm. and a bunch of walk-ons. And then in walks Coach Drew at 32 years old to take over the program. So that's kind of the beginning of the story.
Yes. And that's, again, for folks to process that, all of us at times have been surprised by circumstances in our life, and sometimes those surprises are very unpleasant, but this completely shook your world.
Well, when bad things happen, right? It's not if.
Yeah.
It's when bad things happen, and whether me and my teammates that were left over, we had nothing to do with with everything, the tragedy, the scandal, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But when you're in those situations, you have a choice. You can either run to God or you can run from him.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I chose to be angry. I chose to run from him. And really what I think it comes down to is I realized who or what was really in control of my life was basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd grown up in a Christian household and saved when I was really young. And I had all this head knowledge, but somewhere along the lines, basketball actually crept in as God of my life.
Yeah.
And when that fell apart, this foundation or, you know, the faith that I thought I had, I realized, man, I'm without basketball, I don't know what I am. And so I threw myself into a different lifestyle, and man, it's amazing how quickly you can, you know, turn your back or run away from years of good habits. But if your foundation is off, if it's in a game, if it's in a job, if it's in a relationship, mm-hmm. those things will fail.
Absolutely.
And they'll let you down.
Absolutely. And C.S. Lewis described a point in his life where he felt like his faith, and there were so many people who looked to him as, you know, this beacon. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, when his wife died of cancer, he said it was like a house of cards that collapsed.
Yeah.
And he said, but that was the kindness of God. Because he said, if your faith is like a house of cards, the best thing that can happen is for it to fall down so that you can build the real thing.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Well, when this happened to you, you got into, as you said, a different lifestyle, partying and drinking and mm-hmm. heavy drinking. And it wasn't exactly the stellar season that you had hoped for as a senior. But what happened after that?
Yeah, there's a part of the book. So you mentioned early on, like why write it or what's it all about?
And yeah.
The first part of it was I was reading a book called The Walk On, and, mm-hmm. and it was about a guy that it's a great Christian book about a guy that walked on at Wake Forest. And you know, and I'm listening to his story and him, his grind through college basketball. And I thought, man, that's a lot like my story, except I was on scholarship, but every year I had to survive.
Yeah.
You know, and cause it's really 1 year scholarships. It's not a full 4 year ride like people say or think about, like they can renew
yeah.
or they can let you go at the end of every year. And
right.
so, yeah, I found myself having to try to keep it. And then I looked and I was like, okay, you know, I'm 6'3". I'm not very athletic, and you know, I wasn't gifted in some ways that some guys are. But I was able to grind and find a way, and through discipline and hard work. So, part of the book is the blueprint of how to without maybe having, you know, tons of things given to you, make it happen for
yep.
yourself, for the kid out there that has big dreams like I had.
Mm-hmm.
Another part is surviving in that college environment. I saw 39 different teammates walk in and out the door and somehow was able to remain.
Yes.
So there's a part of, like, I would think that a Julius Randle or a Zion Williamson who played at Duke for 1 year, I think mm-hmm. he and I had very different college experiences as far as playing goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mine is more common, that the grind, that just to survive. And then it's the leftover story where, you know, our program did fall apart. Coach mm-hmm. Drew came in, and at the very beginning of that year, we were told before the season even started that hypothetically, if we would have been really good and won the Big 12 and top 25, that we would not have been allowed to play in postseason play. Mm-hmm. Well, that's like you and I being told, you know, hey, you're going to come in here, you're going to work really hard, but we're not going to pay you. Well, I'm not coming into work then. I'm
yeah.
sorry. You know,
yeah.
like I want to get paid. And so that was a hard pill to swallow. But then, you know, we're losing to teams early on that we used to beat really bad. These were like warm-up games
yes.
for us leading into the Big 12. And we're losing. And Coach Drew and his staff, they were doing their best to keep us together. But one, we weren't very good. But then another problem was, and especially for guys like me, I was giving false effort. Like I really wasn't, and this, it was foreign to me. It had to do with a little bit of the trust that I had lost mm-hmm. from from that summer, the negative headspace that I was in at the time. Mm-hmm. I was not trusting their plan. I wasn't really on board with it. And false effort is when you're trying, you're acting like as you're giving your best.
Yeah.
And people, you can fool a lot of people with false effort, but those of you that really know you or really know basketball or whatever you're doing, they can spot it. And there was one game where we got, our five walk-ons went in for us and five scholarship players subbed out. They were playing really hard. And coach looked down at us and said, you guys better play hard. And when we went back in, this was at the Farrell Center where we play at Baylor. Mm-hmm. I heard boos. They were booing the walk-ons coming out of the game. They were booing us going back into the game. And it was just like all of it, everything, the summer, it all came to a head right there.
Yeah.
And that night, I almost quit. And thankfully, I had an assistant coach give, I think, is really good advice. He just said, show up tomorrow. I think that's when things are really, really tough in your life and you feel like quitting or just not giving your best anymore is the right thing to do. I think you just keep showing up.
Yeah.
And we were able to do that. And some part within that year, a miracle happened. We started to play together. Mm-hmm. We started to compete really hard. And we actually did things that year that nobody thought we would do.
Yeah. Well, it is an amazing story. And of course, as I trust a bunch of our listeners know, that coach went on to do great things with that team.
That's right.
And Baylor won the 2021 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. But there was a long road between the time that you graduated in 2004 and that giant victory in 2021. Now, when you graduated, you found that all that pain that came through this situation was still following you, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I thought the lie about that lifestyle and what I tried to do that my senior year was, I took over control of my life, control of my happiness, joy. You know, God, if you're not on board with my dreams of basketball anymore, like I thought you were, this is a 21-year-old's thinking,
yeah,
then I'm just going to take over this thing and I'm going to laugh and have as much fun however I can and not really worry about who I hurt in the process. Mm. And the problem with that was in those few hours, it worked.
Yeah.
But then your problems are still there. And after that year, and even though we had some good times in basketball and our team had some success, my habits remained.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went over to Iceland to play for 1 year. And my first practice there, a teammate asked where I played. And I thought, okay, I'm going to wow this guy. And I told him, I played a Big 12. Like, I'm a pretty big deal. You probably, you know, never seen a player as good as me. And that was in my head. And he looked at me with a puzzled look and he said, oh, don't they kill people there? I mean, my that story followed me across the ocean. Like I tried to run from it. And the thing is, you can't run from your problems.
No.
And that those habits actually followed me as well. Mm-hmm. And they're a huge reason why my quote unquote pro career lasted only one season as I was asked to leave.
Mm.
And even after playing well for a short amount of time, well, 9 years later, I've already started high school coaching. I'm a varsity assistant, and I feel like there's so many times where I need to go back and apologize to those players because I was really an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 30 years old. I felt like I was a good person that bad things happened to. And then, we know, and we can't forget, and there's no such thing as a good person. Like
right.
We're all sinners.
Right.
We all have that part. So the fact that because we think we're good, that nothing bad can happen, that's not the world that we live in.
Exactly.
And so I'm 30 years old in my apartment alone, just wondering, is this really it?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really what life is supposed to be like? The next Sunday I went to a church and a church that I hadn't gone to before. And I sat in the back And I just felt like I had heard this message a thousand times. And I filled out that visitor card that I'd never done before. I wrote, I'm angry and I have questions. And I put my information, threw it in, never thinking that I would hear from anybody. And just fast forward, I get a response from a lady that helps me to get a time with that pastor. And when I went to the church, I talked with her for a little while. She's very kind and basically just told the pastor everything that I told you today. And I said, I just don't understand why I'm here. And he said, well, Matt, you need to give up control. And I said, it can't be that easy. I've heard that before. I thought I did that when I was five. And he said, no. Like you look back over your life and where you are today. You've been leading yourself here and you need to give up and allow Christ to be Lord of your life.
Amen.
And in that moment, the habits that I had fallen to and run to year after time, the draw wasn't there anymore. And not that life has been perfect, but that woman, that lady that gave me or helped me get with that pastor that arranged it all, we've been married for 9 years now.
Praise God.
Like I just went to that church to vent, and he had much greater plans in store.
You really encountered the Lord there, and he gave you a wife as a bonus.
Wasn't looking for that, but man, that's where people are like, where do I find a lady, man? Just go to church.
Amen. Amen. But find the Lord, and then if he gives you a spouse, that's great.
That's right.
Now, part of the change that God brought in your life was giving up drinking, giving up alcohol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, a person can give up alcohol and still go to hell, can't they?
Oh, that's right. That's just if you're disciplined enough and you're motivated by enough things, I think people can do that. People can change. I mean, there's tons of self-help books out there that have good principles in them.
But it won't get us into heaven, will it?
That has nothing to do with your salvation.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly. Yeah. And yet, the marvelous thing is that the fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. And so when you are saved, it becomes definitely possible to change in ways that before you may have really just found impossible to change.
That's right. It just that power that we can't have or that we don't have,
yep.
The power that we need from the Holy Spirit inside of us to keep us and steer us toward the right things.
Amen.
Yeah, I felt that a lot. I felt that a lot over the years.
Now, your relationship with the Lord is definitely transformed who you are today. He has been working and he's not finished, but God is, when we trust him and yield our lives to him, as you described, receiving him genuinely as our Lord and Savior, he does begin to change us from the inside out. Mm-hmm. We're not just forgiven. I tell people that my most despised bumper sticker that I see from time to time is Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And I want to say, no, we're not just forgiven. We are forgiven and we are in the process of being made like Jesus.
That's right.
Now, you have a podcast called, is it Jamoti?
Yeah, the Jamoti podcast. Jamoti stands for Just a Matter of Doing It, which that phrase right there was my mantra as a young kid, growing up and training. But actually now, as you know, as we're adults and we grow and you learn that it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of doing it. There's a lot more to it.
But part of what we are required to do, whether we know the Lord or not, is what that coach back at Baylor told you, and that is show up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of what God calls us to when we do not understand what he's up to and we do not understand why we're going through what we're going through and we do not see the light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes we just have to show up tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's really where our faith is shown. Like in those times where things are really, really tough, That's why we can count it all joy.
Yes.
When we encounter those tough times. And that's, I mean, regret is a, I tell players all the time, the pain of discipline is far less than the pain of regret.
Amen.
As thankful that I am for the, for being forgiven and the work that, that Christ has done in my life, there's still that part of me that, you know, and I was listening, I think it was John MacArthur. I was listening to him the other day, and he was talking about how, you know, you still, like, the more you are being changed, the more you don't feel shame from your sin, your old sins, but you still hate them. Mm-hmm. And you hate them more and more because we're moving farther and farther from that. So, like, when I think back to those times where, man, I never asked God, what can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. How can, like, in that moment back at Baylor, how could I have been a better light and led people? Because unfortunately, I think I ended up with those partying habits and ways, that competitive nature that drove me to be a good basketball player also drove me to be really good in that arena.
Yeah.
And I think I actually led people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And that's a part where it's so hard to think about that now, but that's also where his grace comes in, is I get opportunities every day. We get opportunities every day to do it better, to make the right choices.
Praise God. Well, the Lord is faithful. And looking back on your life, I mean, you're still a young man. I am now a pretty old guy. I tell people I think I look pretty good for 83. The problem is I'm still in my 60s. But when you look back, you see the Lord's faithfulness, that even though, you know, you messed up and all these things occurred, God never messed up, and he never abandoned you, and he never threw up his hands and said, well, that's it. I can't do anything with Matt. Matt's just a hopeless cause. God had a plan, and he led you through the wilderness, and thank God has promised that he will complete the work that he's begun in you. And I want to encourage our listeners. I don't know what some of you out there are facing right now, but God does. You know, Matt and I can talk on the phone and share about what God's done in our lives, but you need to really prayerfully consider, what is God doing in my life? Have I really come to the point of surrendering my life to him? Or am I still trying to do like Matt described and control the situation myself? I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to make things happen. If God's not going to do this for me, I'll just do what it takes to make it happen myself. That is a recipe for wreckage. You will end up regretting, as he describes, even though you may have some really fun times. You may have what the world calls success, but it's empty. It's a mouthful of gravel. The Bible describes it in the book of Proverbs. You will never meet somebody who regrets having surrendered their life fully to the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, I've dealt with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Nobody has ever told me, boy, I just wish I really hadn't given my life to Christ. But I've heard thousands say what Matt said on this broadcast tonight. And that is, I do have regrets about the time before I surrendered my life to the Lord. And thank God the Lord forgives us. But please let Matt's testimony motivate you to say, I don't want to wait. I want to go ahead and yield my life to Christ now. And if you want somebody to pray with you, please contact us. We will get back to you. If you call our toll-free number, you're going to get a recording in all likelihood. You're going to have to leave a message because this broadcast goes out after our office is closed. But we do follow up, and you can call us and we'll get back in touch with you, and we'd be delighted to pray with you, to send you literature, any way that we can encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Matt Saman, you've got a great book here, The Leftovers, and I want to encourage folks to get hold of it and read it and share it, because this is a great story, well told, and I appreciate, Matt, your coming on the broadcast tonight.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866- 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.